Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I guess you compare it to the story of Abraham and Isaac, which is such a nutty story. Like, he takes his son up on the top of Mount Moriah, and he's going to sacrifice him. I think the point was God was saying, hey, who's on the throne of your heart? Is that son or am I? And that was kind of my Mount Moriah moment. I didn't want to have a boy on the throne of my heart, and I did.
Those are the words of author Dana Gresh, and if you're wondering what she's talking about, she's written a new book called Get Lost, and she was describing a situation that was actually pertinent to her life. The guy that she was dating was actually becoming more important to her than her relationship with God, so she broke up with the guy. Ironically, the guy she's talking about is now her husband. So how did she get from breakup to marriage and parents with adult children? Well, today here on the Homeward broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns will be talking with popular author and speaker Dana Gresh about a teen girl's guide to finding lasting love, and the first step is get lost. Okay, from the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. Go to apu.edu for more on that. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Very happy today to have Dana Gresh with us. We're talking about a teen girl's guide to finding true love. And you know what? I think the conversation is going to be more than just talking about teen girls. We'll talk about teen girls. But if you're older than a teen and you're thinking about trying to find that true love, great conversation. It's a great book called Get Lost, Your Guide to Finding True Love. Dana Gresh is a popular speaker and author of many best-selling books, including books like Six Ways to Keep the Little in Your Girl, Six Ways to Keep the Good in Your Boy, and several other books. Also, the author of And the Bride Wore White, which is a book that my wife gave out to my kids. She's a co-founder of Grace Prep High School. It's a new model in Christian education. She's married to Bob, and they live in State College, Pennsylvania, beautiful place. And the Greshes actually make their home on what they call a chaotic hobby farm. And we may have to talk about that. Welcome to the broadcast today, Dana.
My incredible pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, good to talk to you. Here we are talking to you via phone. That doesn't happen very often, but we wanted to get to you, and you're on one side of the country, and we're here in Southern California. Hey, Dana, one day you ended up at the door of your boyfriend's apartment, and you heard yourself breaking up with this guy who you had actually hoped to marry, and it really wasn't what you wanted, it was what you needed. So Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it was a really great relationship. It was a relationship that was, I think, really pleasing to the Lord. This guy that's a year older than me was my Sunday school teacher. He was fun. He was funny. We talked about the Lord. We read the Bible together. We sat together in chapel at Christian college. And yet I realized at a certain point that the gift of this guy was so much bigger in my heart, in my mind, in my life, in my moments, than the gift of God in my life. And I was really confronted by God with a lack of love for him. And I wasn't pleased in this relationship. I was like, this is the everything relationship, and it's not enough. Something must be wrong with the way I'm approaching it. So I just stepped back. I said, okay, God, teach me. How do I feel content and satisfied in love?
That's incredible because, you know, Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the United States. And typically, if a mom or dad came to me as I was speaking or one of our other 23 speakers, they're going to say, you know, my daughter is not with someone who loves God. They weren't the Sunday school teacher. They aren't the people that we really had hoped and dreamed of because they're not really even walking with God. And we're so hurt and we're so disappointed. And yet you're telling our listeners and myself that this was a guy who really had a lot going for him. He, in some ways, you'd kind of replaced him for God.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I guess you could compare it to the story of Abraham and Isaac, which is such a nutty story. Like, he takes his son up on the top of Mount Moriah, and he's going to sacrifice him. Well, you know, I think the point was God was saying, hey, who's on the throne of your heart?
Wow.
Is that son or am I? And that was kind of my Mount Moriah moment. I didn't want to have a boy on the throne of my heart, and I did.
Yeah, so you backed it off. Now, in your book, which, by the way, is a great book called Get Lost, you said that culture plays a role in girls mixing up God with guys.
Yeah, sure. Well, culture has a big role in the fact that we are constantly programmed to fall in love, and that Hollywood is always telling us that love is based on attraction, love at first sight. You know, that really is true. I mean, scientifically, we can fall in love with someone, according to a Syracuse University study, within 1/10 of a second.
Yeah.
Bam. Just like that.
You said love is at first sight is actually then a real thing.
It's a scientifically proven thing, yeah.
Amazing.
But what kind of love is it? It's a falling in love kind of love. It's a you're hot and I want you kind of love. It's an impulsive display of attraction and affection. It's not the kind of love that God wants us to experience. Now, the Bible has something to say about this kind of love. Even though we think that is true love, the Bible says in the Song of Psalms, do not arouse or awaken, ahava, that's fall in love, attraction love, until the right time. It's not that we can't have it. It's not what our love can be based upon. It can't be where it begins. There has to be something holding back the reins on that. Some of the stories in Scripture about those who experience that kind of love, the Hollywood kind of love, the attraction, the fall in love, are like David and Bathsheba. Not a great love story. Not the one we want to write with our lives. That's a hard one to write. Samson and Delilah, you know, the dude ends up dead because he fell in love, impulsive display of affection. And so what Hollywood is teaching us to do is to experience love in a way that God didn't really design us to experience. I mean, eventually, yes, attraction can be expressed, but it has to be under the control of some other kind of love.
You know, Dana, how do you know the difference between, you know, kind of true love and, you know, kind of a false love when really you're lining it up and this guy you were, you know, that you didn't marry and lucky for you and lucky for Bob, you made the right decision, it sounds like. But, you know, they're Christian. I mean, you were lining up this where, you know, this guy's a Christian. This guy is making good decisions. He was a Sunday school teacher. I mean, there was a lot of good in that. How does a girl or how does a mom or dad help their daughters or even their sons discern the difference between, say, love and infatuation or love and that's real or love that's, you know, putting God, you know, in a second place?
I think the big litmus test, and I write about this in the book, is can you live without the guy? Can you live without the guy? Or is the craving for him so big that you would die without him? You can't live a day without him. And in the book, I write just the little ways that women manifest this as teens, as young adults, and sometimes even as adult women. But, you know, are you declaring the status of your relationship on Facebook before you really know what it is with him? Are you manipulating your day to control an interaction or an encounter with a certain guy? Is your prayer life filled with more talk about this guy than it is about God? These kinds of things are symptomatic of the fact that our love is out of control. When Nancy Lee DeMoss and I wrote the book, Lies Young Women Believe,
yes,
we sent a young woman across the nation to do focus groups. And one of the top lies in teenage Christian girls was, I don't have value without a boyfriend.
Yeah.
A lot of times they were girls that had never even had a boyfriend. They were girls that were too young to have a boyfriend. But they believed there was this boy-crazy craving in their heart that they needed a guy to have value. And when that's the case, you know that something's out of balance.
You know, it's fascinating that you say that because I have three daughters. So, of course, we have no hormones or drama in our life at all, of course.
The house of hormones, that's what my husband calls it.
Now, that's funny. I've never heard that, and I'm actually going to steal that from your husband.
Yeah, your girls are going to thank me.
I will thank. And I'll give you credit, Dana, the first time, and then the second time, it's now
okay.
My idea.
But, it's all yours.
But yep. How do you help a girl who has a shaky self-image? And she does think that it's, you know, that having, and she's definitely, you know, loves God, but she actually also just loves guys and loves the idea of being with guys. How do you help that girl, you know, move toward a more God-centered type of relationship when they're really getting it confused?
Well, I think the reason we get it confused is partly because it's confusing in the Scriptures. There are so many passages where the Word of God clearly says that marriage is a picture of the love God has for us. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. So obviously, there's going to be some confusion. If God created our marriages with the intention and purpose of being a picture of his love, then of course we may attend to be confused sometimes.
Right.
But what we do sometimes is we fixate on the picture, and we're trying to paint a picture of something we've never even seen or studied. because we haven't seen and experienced in the deepest ways the love of God so that in our lives we can paint a picture of it. So what we're doing is we're putting the cart before the horse. We're studying the representation and not the real thing. And what we need to do with our daughters is give them such a taste of the real love of God, the real love. Not discount the love of boys, not make boys out to be the forbidden fruit. No, you can never have a boyfriend, and no, you can't date till you're 50. I mean, these are funny things. But
I want to say that, by the way, as a dad. I just want you to know that right now.
But, you know, it's fun to say those things, but some parents actually live in such a way that the legalism in their life creates more of an infatuation and craving for guys than if they would just help them to understand where that craving comes from.
That's great. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Dana Gresh with us. The book is called Get Lost, Your Guide to Finding True Love. And it's an excellent book. And I'm going to have Roger talk about it right now. And we'll be back in just a minute. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward. Don't go away.
It's kind of a dating book of sorts, but it's also a Bible study. I mean, there's some great biblical insight in here as well. And this is a book that we recommend for moms and daughters to read together because the culture, as Dana just mentioned, is not very kind to young women these days in terms of taking this fixation, which is actually a physiological reality about the way girls can look at guys. And the culture just puts it on warp overdrive to the point where it really can become a compulsion that isn't very healthy. So if you want more information on Dana Gresh's book, Get Lost is sold everywhere. But if you go to homeward.com, follow the prompts on the radio broadcast section, you can find information and a link to Dana Gresh's website. That's D-A-N-N-A-H and then Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. More from Dr. Jim Burns and said Dana Gresh in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm 17, and I have a 19-year-old boyfriend.
I'm 16, and I only date college guys.
I'm 19, and my last girlfriend was 18. I don't think it's right to date a girl who's more than a couple years younger than me.
When your 16-year-old daughter tells you that she's met the man of her dreams, and he turns out to be a 21-year-old college student, well, that can be a real problem. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. A generation ago, the season for adolescents ran between ages 13 and 18. Girls had a tendency to mature a bit sooner than boys, so it wasn't too big of a deal when a 16-year-old girl dated an 18-year-old guy. These days, however, adolescence lasts quite a bit longer. But that doesn't mean that your 16-year-old daughter should have that much in common with a young man who's old enough to be graduating from college soon. Dating an older guy might seem glamorous to a young girl, but when a young girl shows serious interest in that kind of a relationship, it might be a warning sign of other deeper emotional issues she's facing. I'm Jim Burns with Something to Think About from Homeward.com. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. Dana Gresh is with us. A Teen Girl's Guide to Finding True Love. She's a popular speaker. She's written some great books. She's the co-founder of Grace Prep High School, and that's a new model of Christian education. She's married to Bob, who also works at Grace Prep, and they've got three adult children. The Greshes make their home on a chaotic hobby farm in State College, Pennsylvania, and we're talking to Dana today via the telephone, so maybe you have a little bit different vibe than what we do typically do with the studio. Dana, you said in your book, and I know this to be from the past and part of your story, is that the first time you spoke publicly about what you called God's healing, kind of some of the sexually strained and stained heart of yours, you found that experience excruciating. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely excruciating. Well, I was driving down the highway listening to a radio program kind of like this one day, and I heard two questions. One was, what is the number one question on a teenage girl's mind when she's talking to her, you know, mom and daughter talking about sex? And without hesitation, the answer was, the number one question on that teenage girl's mind is, Mom, did you rape?
Yeah.
And I was 26 years old. I had a brand new baby girl in the backseat of my car. I was so struggling for healing from the sexual sin I experienced as a young teenage girl. And I finally realized, sitting in that car, listening to the power of Christian radio, that I needed healing. I never believed it before. I thought I could be okay. But I believed the lie that God could never use me. And as a little girl, I wanted so much to be used by God. And when I worked through all of those things and fast forward about a year from that day of my healing, and you know what, the healing came as I told people, told first my husband and my mom, this great healing rose up. And that was a healing that I couldn't help but share. And the book of 1 Corinthians says that we comfort others with the same comfort we ourselves have received from Christ. When you get healed, you can't help but pour that out. And so I wanted to do that, but the lie that is still in the back of my head, God can't use you. And I just had the courage to kind of just pummel my way through that wall of lies and share my testimony for the first time. And it was both the most exhilarating experience and the most terrifying experience.
Right.
And I had to retrain my brain, because God would call me to give that testimony again and again, retrain my brain with scriptures, replacing that lie, God can't use me, with scriptures like, God does not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And eventually it became a freedom for me to share my story.
Yeah. It is interesting how there is healing as we share a story, but also as we talk about God's love and grace involved in it. Now, it's interesting, and you may not know this, probably our listeners do, that, you know, one of the major things that we do here at Homeward is talk about sexual purity. Purity Code is a book. There are conferences called the Purity Code Conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a book out called Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. So we do a seminar on it. So when I'm done with the seminar, there's going to be a couple of questions. But the number one question is, a woman will come up to me, typically, it's usually not a man, but sometimes it is. And they don't want to put their hands up and ask it, but they'll say, hey, so I was not sexually pure when I was young. And if I start teaching my kids about sex and sexuality in God's way, then I'm afraid they're going to ask me, what about you, mom?
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer that when moms or dads ask you that question?
Well, you know, I tell them, my disclaimer is that there are many different opinions in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the two big ones are, one, you should share. Two, don't share that. It will give them a license for sin. Or they might say, don't share that. It's covered in the blood. It's a part of the past.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion is that you should share it. And the reason is because our social science tells us that one of the greatest risk reducers for our kids to having sex is having an open communication,
yes,
parent-child connectedness on the topic. And the kids that I counsel, the teenagers that I counsel, know one of two things. Either their parents have told them that they were pure, that they lived a good life of purity, or that they struggled, or even that they failed, and they know full well what their parents' story is. The other side of the coin is my parents won't talk about it,
right,
so I know they messed up. And if they're not going to talk to me about that, why would I talk to them about my story?
Right, right. You know,
you shut down the wall.
Right.
Why would you want to do that?
Right. No, I agree with you. I don't know that you have to tell every part of the story, you know, and here's the details.
Not.
But, you know, I said to a woman this weekend, I was speaking on this subject this weekend, and I said to a woman, I said, you know, how I would do it is say, I have so much passion for you to make right and wise and God-honoring decisions. And that's why I have this passion, because I didn't do it right. You know, I come with some baggage. Now, am I forgiven by God? Sure, but I don't want you to have the kind of baggage that I carried into the relationship with your dad. So, you know, that's why we're having this conversation. I know it's awkward. I know it's not easy. But and I said, and if, you know, her daughter keeps asking her questions, well, what, you know, where, when, how? So, you know what, that's kind of none of your business, but I just want you to know that, you know, through God's grace, I've been healed. And yet, again, the reason we're bringing this subject up more than once is because I care deeply for you and I love you so much. And the woman kind of walked away and went, okay, I'll try that. But it's interesting. You said also that a lot of times it'll be silence. This weekend, I'm talking to several hundred people at a conference center called Mount Hermon Conference Center. My wife and I were actually doing a marriage conference, but we always end up talking about this kind of stuff. And I said, how many of you received good, positive, healthy sex education from your parents when you were growing up? Four people put their hands up. That was it. And so what that means is we don't know how to have these kinds of conversations. They are going to be awkward. I mean, I write books on this subject too, just like you. And they were awkward for me having conversations with my daughters about it. I mean, it wasn't like it went smooth. But it was kind of the process is you want them to be able to come to you and be open. And it sounds to me like that's exactly what you're saying too.
Yeah. And you don't want to share details. That's your kids are not your place of healing. But you can say, as you said, let me tell you why Jesus loves me so much and what he's done, or why I love Jesus so much and what he's done
in
my life. And that's what I've shared with my kids, and it did open their hearts. They do tell me stuff that they struggle with, and That's the ultimate goal as a parent, is you want your kids to be able to tell you anything.
Yeah, no, that's good. Hey, in your book, Get Lost, which is a guide to finding true love, which we're talking about today, you use, there's two words, violent cravings. Talk about what that is.
Those are important words. Those are the Old Testament words for boy crazy. That's what that is. You know, boy craziness is no new thing. My mom had it, my grandma had it, my great-grandma had it, and you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Wow. At the base of the tree, after they have taken that piece of forbidden fruit, God comes to them to describe to them what the condition of their relationships are now going to be because of that. There were relational laws already set up, and they had just defied them. Just if you defy the law of gravity, you're going to feel consequences of that. So God's describing to them what this is going to feel like. And to Eve, he says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And the word desire is very critical. Theologians say that if it were really literally translated, it would be translated violent craving. And that craving is so violent that the Hebrew described it as a craving bordering on disease. That is boy craziness right now. You can't live without them. And, of course, once you have them, you want to control them because you got to be in control. This is just symptomatic of being fallen. And we struggle with that. We women struggle deeply with the consequence of having a violent craving for a man. And as I had discovered this in the Old Testament, girls are writing on my blog saying, wow, I have something to call it, you know? I know why I cry because I'm single. I know why I've given things to guys just because I was afraid I'd lose them if I didn't. I understand now that this is part of the fall. The good news is that there is another place in the scriptures where the same word for craving is used, and that's in Proverbs, where it says, what a man desires, what a man craves, is unfailing love. It's better to be poor than a liar. So the answer is not to say, oh, I don't need love, but the answer is, where am I going to get it? What's the source? And the words unfailing love are used 32 times in the Old Testament, and never is the source anything other than God himself.
Yeah.
What you really crave is guys, you know, and I think a good way to talk about this is our physical cravings. I don't know about you, but I am a carboholic. I can down some French bread in a heartbeat. Mm. I don't need the steak. I don't need the potatoes. Just give me the bread and butter, you know? But what happens when I do that? Well, an hour later, I'm still hungry, and the person that ate the protein and the vegetables is not, because they got what their body really needed. And our spirits really need God, but our emotions are telling us that we need a guy. And all that leads is to more and more craving. It never leads to the satisfaction God meant for you to experience in love.
Boy, great input. Dana Gresh with us today. She's written a great book. Roger's going to tell you about it, Get Lost, Your Guide to Finding True Love. She's also written a lot of great books, so you want to go on and maybe even Google her name and take a look at it. One of her first books, or maybe even her first book, And the Bride Wore White, is a great story about her life as well, but many other books as well. And we're just privileged to have her with us. Roger?
Well, we're looking forward to this. It's the end of part one of a two-part conversation. I encourage you to be with us on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast as we'll continue this conversation with Dana Gresh on A Teen Girl's Guide to Finding Lasting Love. As Jim mentioned, her new book is called Get Lost, and it's a great one because the idea, of course, is that you shouldn't just send your kids away, but rather encourage your daughters in particular to get so lost in God that if the right guy's going to come along, he has to find God to find your daughter. That's the whole premise of the book. It's one that Jim recommends, and if you want more information about it, you can Google it. Go to our website at homeward.com. If you're not there already, look at the radio broadcast section, and when you get to that section, just type Dana's name. Actually, just go ahead and click it on where it's listed for today's program, and you'll get there. Also, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, helps explain a lot of the teenage mindset that we're talking about today as well. You can order Jim's book, Teenology, directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We're grateful for that support. You can order that book today at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.